How's everyone this morning?
Blessed and highly favored.
Let me hear it again.
Blessed and highly favored.
Amen. Praise God. I'm excited. I don't know about you. I thank God. Now, here's what's good. You know, I enjoy music like everybody. You know, it's exciting. Music is exciting. I enjoy praise and worship. Praise and worship is exciting. I enjoy hearing the prophetic word, a word from the Lord to the congregation. That's exciting. But you know what makes me more excited? What? The word of God. You know why? Because the Bible tells us that this is a more sure word of prophecy. And it says you do heed to listen to it. So we need to get excited about every time the word's going forth. So let's get excited about God's word. Amen? Now let me just share something with you. This is interesting. Today, see, today's a setup. God set us all up. He set me up Thursday, and he's setting you up today, okay? So God set me up by saying, okay, I have a word I want you to share to the people in Poconos. And I said, and I'm sitting there, I'm in the presence of the Lord. I said, okay, God, what is it? Because sometimes he gives me a topic, and I get the topic, and I start moving. He just gave me a word concerning this congregation, this portion. But now that I heard the Sunday and we heard the stream, I believe it's for Nanuet as well, but he gave me it for you this morning. And you know what that word is? This is God's word to this congregation. How many of you want to hear it? Okay? Now, this is God speaking his word to you. He told me to tell you this. This is what he thinks about you. Or how many of you want to hear it? Okay, good. Now, here it is. Ready? He calls you the faithful ones. That's what he said. He said, now this morning what I want you to do, this is going to be a lesson on faith. We're going to, you know, faith is something that we can always learn. Faith is something that we can always develop in. But what he said this morning was, this morning's topic is called the faith of the faithful ones. Amen? Now let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, beginning at verse 1. How many of you brought your Bible with you? Okay, I know we got some techie people. How many of you got your iPads with you? How many needs an iPad? You need an iPad? I got one. You good? You going to look on with her? Okay, because I want everybody, here's what we want to do. See, we're in the 21st century, so if you got an iPad, that's good. If you got an iPhone, that's good. But what I want to make sure is you have the Bible. So we're looking at 2 Thessalonians. Is everyone there? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I'm going to be reading from the King James Version. And just follow along with me. One thing I like in my classes, I like everybody to follow along with me, you know? Because what happens is if I'm doing all the talking and you're not following along with me, I don't know if you're getting it. So I want you to follow along with me. Amen? Everyone with me? Okay, let's look at verse 2. Really, we're going to read verse 2 all the way to 12. But for this morning, we're only going to get up to verse 4. But what I want to do is I want you to get the whole significance of what God is saying through the Apostle Paul. Is everyone there? Okay, let's begin reading at verse 2. Paul says, grace unto you and peace. From who? From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to read along with me, folks. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because your faith does what? So in other words, Paul is saying to the church in Thessalonica, but he's also saying to us at the church in Poconos, our faith can do what? It can grow, but not only just grow, but how? Exceedingly, right? Now let's keep on going. And the charity, now I have the King James. It says charity, but another word for that charity is what word? Love. So we can say it this way. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because your faith grows exceedingly, and your love of every one of you all towards each other does what? Grows. So in other words, what Paul is saying is our faith can grow. Each and every one of us, every day, your faith should be growing. But how should it be growing? Exceedingly, right? But also, what else should be happening? Our love for who? For one another should be what? Increasing or abounding, that says in the King James Version. Now, let's keep on reading, right? Verse 4. so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith. Uh-oh, look at this. In all your what? Persecutions and what else? Tribulations that you do what? Endure. Let's keep on reading. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that he may be counted worthy, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. Now, I know that sounds strange to some of us guys in the Word of Faith circles, but here's what's happening. Because we have made a decision to allow our faith to grow, because we have made a decision to walk in love to one another, that's valuable in the kingdom of God. But now, what did Paul say was going to happen? Persecutions are going to come to us. Tribulations are going to come to us. But he said we're to do what? Endure. So now, this morning was no accident. Chuck and Sharon came here because they're servants of God and they're faithful servants. They came to serve. So what happened? Persecution hit Chuck. But you know what? Chuck will be back here next week. So Chuck, if you're listening to this message, we're giving you credit for your attendance this week. Right? So tell Chuck when you see him next week that we gave him credit for today, right? So he got credit for this class, right? Sounds like college, right? But the truth of the matter is this. Because we have made a decision to live for Jesus Christ, because we have made a decision to allow our faith to grow, because we have made a decision to walk in this type of love, persecution and tribulations are going to come. But now, what are we supposed to do? Endure. Okay? Let's keep on going, okay? Where are we at? Where did I leave off at? Oh, verse 5. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing that God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. So in other words, here's what he's saying. Those people that the enemy is using to try to trouble us, God is going to take care of them for us. So you ain't got to worry about it. Remember Pastor Greg was talking about the system, referring to Brother Jeremy? That same system that's trying to mess with Brother Jeremy, God is going to take care of it. We ain't got to take care of it. Jeremy doesn't have to take care of it. God is going to take care of it, okay? Now let's keep on going here. Verse 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Verse 10, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Look at verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling. Remember, God said you're the faithful ones, right? There's a calling to go would be called faithful ones, right? And fulfill all his good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, right? And ye in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, like I shared with you earlier, we're not going to go through all of that scripture that I just read. I'm probably going to go to verse 4, but look at verse 3. Let's go back to that, verse 3. What does he say? We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because what? Your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all towards each other abounds. Now, when we're talking about the faith of the faithful ones, first thing we need to understand is this faith that that God has given us, this faith that we walk in and live in, this faith is based on love. Now, the word love in the Greek, it's the word what? Agape, right? We know that it says agape. But really, when you look in this scripture, the word agape doesn't do it service. Agape means the God kind of love. And just to break this down real quick, in the Greek, the word love had different meanings. So one word of love was phileo. That means like friendly, brotherly love, right? The other kind of love was thanos. Thanos means like, oh man, I love chocolate ice cream, right? Right? Then there's an eros love, the love between a man and a woman, married, right? But you fall into that kind of love, but you get married, right? But what we're saying is there's many types of love, right? But this kind of love that they couldn't understand, they said, wait a minute, we can't understand this type of love. When they're talking about God as love, the Greeks had to try to figure this out. The best one they came with was the Greek word agape. That meant the God kind of love. See, so to them, it was like a higher level. So the love that we're talking about towards one another is a high love. It's not a love based on my feelings and emotions and whether I like you or dislike you. It's based on the God kind of love. Amen? But now there's also another word for love that's in this text. If you study it out, is in the Hebrew, it's the word hasid. Now, this word hasid is very interesting because in the Hebrew, this word means strength, steadfast, and that what it means when it says love. But now listen to what the commentator said about hasid. He says, hasid is not only a matter of obligation, it is also a matter of generosity. Because when we're talking about in the Old Testament, it was like a covenant kind of relationship, the hasid. But notice what it says here. It's not a matter of obligation. It's not only a matter of obligation. God is not only obligated to us because he loves us, it's also a manifestation of his generosity. Everyone follow me on that? Now, also it says it's also not a matter of loyalty. See, because some people say, well, if you love me, you'll be faithful to me, right? That's what we say, right? And when someone's not faithful, what do you say? Oh, he must not love me, right? He must not have loved me. But the Hasid kind of love is like this. It's not a matter of loyalty, but it's a matter of his mercy. So you follow this? So in other words, when we're talking about this love, it's a love not of what they did for me and what they can do for me. It's a matter of walking in that God kind of love. Amen? Now, in your Bible, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, you don't have to turn there, but if you're taking notes, you can write this down. The latter part of Galatians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, but faith works by what? By love. So in other words, faith has a component that it has to work with. Faith has to work with what? Love. What kind of love? The love of God. Now look at that same verse. I'm going to read that same verse in the Amplified. That the latter part of Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. It says it this way. But only faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love. Let me say it one more time. But only faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love. So in other words, faith has to be activated. Now, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Well, what do you mean faith has to be activated? Now, some of you are young, but how many of you remember the old hairstyle, Jerry curls? How many remember those, right? Wave your hand, right? We know about those, right? Now, I ain't going to ask how many of you had one, but now, the Jerry curl, right, was a hairstyle for us kind of folk that if you put this thing in your hair and turned it a certain way, what else you had to do with that Jerry curl? You had to have, what, a spray, right? And go, shh, shh, shh. And what did you had to do? That spray was called what? An activator, right? But what did that activator do? It gave it that curly look, right? But now, how many of you seen brothers or sisters with the Jerry curl that didn't activate it in a while? How did it look? Right? Now, some of you are wondering, what are they talking about? But really, they look really bad. So now, think of it this way. Our faith has to be activated with the love of God. See, because faith without love is just like a bad hairstyle Jerry curl guy, right? Not really, when you think about it. So our faith has to be activated. It has to be activated in the love of God. Amen? Everyone follow me? Now, faith also has to be what? Energized, right? Now, how many of you know about this example of, remember on TV, the Energizer Rabbit? Remember in the commercial, all those rabbits are playing the drums, right? They're going, right? But what happens? After a while, they all slow down. But what happens to the energizer rabbit? He's still banging away, right? Because he's energized, right? See, so in other words, our faith has to be energized. But what is it going to be energized with? The love of God. The love of God energizes our faith, okay? Faith also has to be expressed. But now, how is faith going to be expressed? In the love of God. John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have what? Everlasting life." So love is expressed, right? Through faith. And faith is expressed through love. Amen? So in other words, the faith of the faithful ones are those who allow the love of God to be activated, to be energized, and to be expressed in their lives. Amen? To others. Be expressed to others. That's the key. The love of God that's in us. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says this, "The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by who? By the Holy Ghost." So in other words, each and every one of us who's accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we have the love of God in us. But now here's what happens with some of us. We get this mindset that, oh man, you hear a message about love, oh, now I got to walk in love because after all, he said it. And I got to go to work tomorrow. I got to go to school. I got to go to this area. I really don't like this person. See, and then I got to work up this little phony thing that I start to grin. And, yeah, I love you, brother. I love you, sister. No, that's not the love of God. The love of God is in us. Now, what we have to do is let it come out. Now, how do you think we're going to let it come out? How is the love of God that I already showed you in the scriptures is in us by the Holy Ghost? How are we going to allow that love of God to come out? Is there a spout on the top of our heads that we push it and the love of God comes out? How's it going to come out? You got to activate it. How am I going to activate it? How do we activate it? Speak it out. What else? Acting it. But how? Come on, you're missing it. Somebody said it over there. My A student over there said it. Say it loud. By faith. See, by faith, we activate the love of God. And remember, it has nothing to do with how you're feeling, because you can activate the love of God to somebody that is mean, raunchy, and nasty to you, and emotionally, you don't have to have your emotions involved in it. Just by faith, I love you, brother. I love you, sister. And I'm going to let the love of God come out of me. See, because that's what happens when we are energized, when we are activating and allowing that love of God to flow through us to others, it has an effect. I don't care. Nobody in the world can resist an act of love. I don't care where you go. If we all got into a van and went to maximum security prison in this area, and we went in there to those prisoners on death row, and if we walked in there and demonstrated the love of God, don't you know that love of God will change them? The love of God is powerful. Amen? You got that? So the faithful ones are those who allow the word of God, the love of God, rather, to flow through them. Say this with me. Say, by faith, I allow the love of God to live in me to go to others. Now, here's something we need to know. Write this down. Miracles and the miraculous begin to happen in the lives of faithful ones. See, because we are the faithful ones, miracles and the miraculous will begin to happen. Turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. We're talking about the faith of the faithful ones. Acts chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Is everyone there? Okay, let's read all the way to verse 12, okay? Is everyone there? Let's read. "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple." Verse 3, "Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said," what? "Look on us." And he gave heed, the lame man gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something. So in other words, here's the picture. Peter and John, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They're going into the synagogue, or the temple rather, for prayer. This man was always at the gate, right? And what was he doing? Begging, right? Asking for alms, right? They pass him, and he looked at them. And Peter and John looked at him, and he looked at them, right? And what was he doing? Expecting to receive something, right? Right? He thought he was going to receive alms, right? But let's see what happened. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Now look at verse 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and what? And walk. And he took him by the hand. So in other words, love works with faith, but faith has to have an expression. If Peter and John just would have looked at him and kept on walking into the temple, would something happen? Would anything would have happened if they just would have just looked at him and kept on walking? No, love and faith. We're talking about the righteous ones, the faithful ones. Faithful ones will be obedient to what God has them to do. They had to look at him. He was expecting something, and then they had to reply back, right? But notice what happened. What happened was this. They said, silver and gold, we don't have, right? Because that's what that guy was expecting. But what I have, I give to you. See, this world is looking for silver and gold. This world is looking for power and position. But you and I have something better than silver and gold. You and I have something better than power and position. What do we have? The name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So in the name of Jesus, they took him by the hand, and what happened? The miraculous began to happen. The man jumped up and did what? Walked and went with them, right, into the temple, right? Now, listen to this. Let's just hold that there. Now, move over to verse 12, because I want to condense this. So the man's walking and leaping, praising God, jumping all around. Everybody knew him at the gate. Everybody that was in the temple that walked in always walked past him. Now he's in the temple and giving praise to God, right? Now, they're trying to figure out who did this. What happened, right? But now look at what happens here. Are you with me, right? Now look at this. Chapter 3, right? We're in Acts chapter 3. Now look at verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, because they were trying to figure out what happened. Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as through by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk, right? But now he goes on to a discourse. But now look at verse 16. He says this. He says, and his name, who's the his he's referring to there? Jesus. And his name through what? Faith, where? In his name, right? Hath this man had made this man what? Strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So in other words, what Peter was saying was, it wasn't me, but it was the power that was in me, and it's faith in that name. So the faithful ones know of the power of the name of Jesus. Amen? Because we're talking about faith of the faithful ones. Now, here's something that we run into. Now, before I say that, look at verse 4. Go back to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, let's jump back there real quick, because I don't want to get ahead of myself. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, we left off at verse 3, right? Now look at verse 4. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your what? Persecutions and tribulations that you do what? Endure. Now, think about this for a moment. I'm going back to Peter and John. They followed God. They ministered. You would think everybody would be happy, right? You think there would be the town would be rejoicing, everybody would be happy. No, persecution broke out. So now here's something we need to think about. Because we are the faithful ones, because we made a decision to walk by faith and not by sight, there are two myths out there, two religious myths, okay? The first myth is this one. How many of you heard this one? Tell me if you heard it. In order to be a true Christian, you must wear persecution and tribulation as a spiritual badge to show how spiritual you are. How many of you heard that one? She heard it. Okay, she heard it. Good. The other ones didn't? Okay, good. Now, maybe you heard this one. Here's myth number two. Ready? When you live by faith, you will not experience tribulations or persecutions. How many of you had heard that one? When you live by faith, you shouldn't be experiencing. You heard that one too, right? Right? But now these are myths. See, what happens is this. It's the opposite. Because you have made a decision to be a faithful one, to live by faith, you're going to suffer persecution. You're going to suffer tribulations. Jesus said it this way. He said, in this world, you shall suffer tribulations, right? He said, but what? But be of what? Good cheer. See, in other words, when tribulation is coming, what should we be doing? We should be of good cheer. That's why with what happened this morning, I'm playing it back to where we were. Well, what happened this morning when I arrived here and they were putting Chuck in the ambulance and Sharon was going with him and our sister Deacon Lorraine went with him to the hospital. As I went into the speaker's lounge, the Holy Ghost said, he said, begin to tell the people to begin to give praise and thanks, to begin to rejoice in this area. And my wife asked me, well, what area? I said, in here and all around. So now when I was in there, the Holy Ghost spoke again. He said, he told me, you go outside and walk around this perimeter giving thanks and praise to God. Now, why was I doing that? First of all, obeying God, obeying his direction. But also, too, there's another thing that happens in our walk with God. See, when tribulations and persecution comes, the enemy brings it for a reason. And we're going to see that right here in a minute, okay? Turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I know I'm giving you a whole lot here, but I want you to see this. Because, see, this is nothing new. What we're experiencing is nothing new, okay? James chapter 1, beginning at verse 2. Okay, is everyone there? The Epistle of James, chapter 1, verse 2. Let's read. My brethren, do what? Count it what? When good things happen. When you hit the lotto. No? My brethren, count it all joy when you do what? Fall where? Into diverse temptations. Knowing this, that what? The trying of your faith does what? Worketh patience. But let what? Patience have a perfect work, that ye may be what? Perfect and entire. That means mature. Wanting nothing. Now, here's something we need to understand. Okay, I think I shared this before, but I'll say it again. Because we make a decision to walk by faith, to live by faith, your faith is going to be put to the test. And I got news for you. Faith untested is invalid faith. Your faith is, you and I, our faith is going to be put to the test. But now, listen to this. Faith that's not tested is not valid. Turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. See, because I don't want you just to take Brother James's. He told you to do what? And rejoice when you fall. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse different temptations, right? Let's see what Brother Peter has to say. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 6, okay? We're going to read verse 6 to 9. Is everyone there? Okay, let's read. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in what? Heaviness through what? Manifold temptations. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be what? Found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom now ye see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So in other words, think of it this way. Think of your faith as like steel. How many of you have ever seen steel in a mill? It's forged on the fire, right? That steel has to undergo a process. That fire brings a process to that steel, right? And that steel is molded into whatever it needs to be done, right? But if that steel never got under fire, that steel is useless. But because it's under fire and it's being forged into a certain mold, then it becomes usable. Well, the same thing with our faith. Our faith is going to be put to the test. So if you're believing God that by his stripes you're healed, of course the enemy's going to come with that lying vanity, and the pressure's going to come, and the pain is going to come, and the ambulance is going to come, and everything's going to come. But here's what we have to do. We hold fast to what God has said. So your faith is being put on the fire. But when your faith comes on the fire, and as you endure that, as you come out, you're coming out the finished product. Is that making sense to everybody? So it's not like we wear our persecutions and our tribulations as a badge to show you how spiritual I am. No, we're all going to go through this. But now the key is this. While we're going through it, what should we be doing? Rejoice. We should be rejoicing when tribulation and persecution comes upon us. Okay, everyone got that? Now, I know this is not a good word of faith messages. There's no conferences on this kind of stuff because people don't want to hear about that. People want to hear about nice things. But the truth of the matter is, because we are the faithful ones, we can endure these things. Amen? Now, think about this one. Our faith is going to be tested, right? As I said to you before. And what we have to do, I already said that, but I want to reiterate this. What we have to do is rejoice. See, and that's why today the Holy Ghost said to begin to praise God. And he told me to go out and praise him in this whole area. See, the reason, because praise, when praise is going up, it stops the enemy's activity. Okay? It stops him dead in his tracks. And if you don't believe me, let something happen contrary to what you've been believing for. And instead of looking at it, say, oh, man, look at what happened. Oh, now what am I going to do? See, all of that, when we start to think that way, then the enemy gets a way, he gets a doorway in. And then he'll start messing with your mind, messing with this. And then we're focusing on that. Yeah, but I saw the ambulance ride off. I saw the red lights. No, we don't focus in on those things because the way it works is this. Whatever you focus your attention on, you'll begin to meditate on that. I wonder how Chuck is doing. I wonder what's going on now. I didn't hear anything. Does anybody know what's going on? Maybe I should text him. See, that's all the enemy wants you to do that because what happens while we're going through all of that, we're going to miss what God wants to do for us. You follow what I'm saying? So now let's get back to this. It's important for us as believers, right? It's important for us to understand that when we make a stand, because we are the faithful ones, right? We have made a decision to walk by faith and not by sight, right? Now, here's something we need to think about. The faithful ones will say what God's word says about every situation. Let me repeat that again. The faithful ones will say what God's word says about every situation. Now, how many of you remember the story in Numbers chapter 13? Remember the 12 spies? Remember God told Moses to do what? Send out 12 spies. Let's turn there. Turn to Numbers. I want you to see something. Numbers chapter 13. Because many times, you know, we overlook this, but it's very important. That's why the Word of God is so important for us. In the Word of God, we have our examples. Amen? Amen. Now, look at Numbers chapter 13. Is everyone there? Okay, we're going to read verse 1 through 2. Okay, and listen what it says. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, send thou out men that they may do what? What are those men supposed to do? Search the land of Canaan, which I give you unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, and every one a ruler among them. So that's where the 12 came from. These 12 men were leaders. Okay? They were leaders from all the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, what did God tell Moses to do? Send them out to do what? To spy out the land. Got that? Now, isn't that simple instruction, right? Send out 12 men of the tribe, leaders of the tribe, to do what? Search out the land. Now, watch what happens. Are you ready? Now, look at this. We're still in Numbers, right? Now, listen to this. Look at verse 17. And Moses sent them out to spy out the land of Canaan. And he said unto them, get you up this way southward unto the mountain. And see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. and what land it is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be in, whether they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. Are you following where this is going? Did you realize what happened real quick? What did God say? He said, send out 12 men to do what? Spy out the land. What did Moses do? He gave them different instructions. Now, I got news for you. Here's how it works. Remember we said the faithful ones say what God says? Now, this is very simple. I mean, God has made it simple to me. Maybe because I'm simple. If I say what God says, I can have what God has. You follow that? But if I say what you say, thinking it's what God said, God's not bound by that. So in other words, Moses was adding things into it. But if you notice the things that Moses was adding, it was things by sight. God just told them by faith, go in and survey the land. That's all. Now Moses is telling them how big they are, where the cities are, where the houses are. Are there lands? Are there giants in the lands? In other words, all of this stuff that he was creating was he was putting in their heads something that God never told them. Now, the same thing works for us today. How many of us, we know that the word of God says by his stripes we're healed, right? But then again, but the doctor said, but you know, I saw on TV, you know, I saw on the internet, you know, the internet, I Googled tuberculosis, and man, I found out there's a whole site about everything. So now what happens? Our focus has been shifted. So these 12 men's focus was shifted. But now how many men came back with the evil report? 10. 10 came back with the evil report. Who said 2? Okay. Reverses. Okay, yeah, no, that's quite all right. So 10 of them came back with an evil report, and what was that evil report based on? What Moses told them. See, the 10 came back saying what Moses said. The other two, Joshua and Caleb, came back with what kind of report? Good report. Why was their report good? Because they said what God said. You follow where we're going? The faithful ones do what? Say what God says. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Okay? Let's keep on going here. I think we're going somewhere. We're starting to cook. I'm seeing that you're starting to pick this up. So in other words, if we say what God says, we can expect what? His results. So if God says, by his stripes, I'm healed, then guess what? I'm healed. If God says that I am blessed, what am I? Blessed. But God, I don't care what your account looks like. Yeah. See, your account is not an indicator of what God is doing. What you say, when you agree with what God says, that's the indicator of whether you're going to receive from God or not. Not your checking account. Not Wall Street. Not Washington. Everyone follow me on this? Okay, let's keep on going. Okay, we already said that. Good. The faithful ones say what God says, and what God said in his word has promised, right? Now turn to Romans chapter 1. No, don't turn there. I'll just read it to you. Romans chapter 1, verse 17, the latter part of that is, Paul said this. He said, the just shall do what? Live by how? By faith. So now, if I'm not living by faith, then what am I? How am I living? I'm living unjustly. See, so now, faith is not a matter of, well, that church is a faith church, or that's a denomination. Faith is a movement, a denomination. No, faith is Bible. Faith is Bible. It's not a denomination. Faith is not a movement. Faith is the Bible. It is the kingdom of God. You and I are in the kingdom of God. How many of you realize that? You're in the kingdom of God. So now we're here. We're down on this earth. This earth is not our home. The system that we're facing every day is not ours. This is foreign. We're like in a foreign territory here. But we are citizens of the kingdom of God. There are principles and rules of the kingdom of God that supersede these principles that are facing around us. So when there's a recession, right, in this land, is there a recession in the kingdom of God? Does the kingdom of God, does heaven have layoffs? No, they don't, right? It's increasing. So now what we have to do is remember, the faithful ones remember, And we need to stay plugged into the fact that God is faithful. Amen? Now, here's something I want you to think about. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The faithful ones. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is one of my newer Bibles. Okay, here it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and look at verse 13. So that way you don't think I'm making this up, okay? Is everyone there? Now, look at what he says. We having what? The same spirit of faith. Now, think about it. Faith has a spirit. There's a spirit associated with faith. But now he's telling us what is really a principle. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, what? I believe in what? And therefore have I spoken. We also believe in what do we do? Before speak. So now what we got to remember is this. That's why getting back to this morning, if we believe that by his stripes, Chuck is healed, then the same spirit of faith will say he's healed. He is healed. Because the same spirit of faith believes and then it speaks. But what do we believe? God's word. So that's why it's so important to get God's word in your heart. It's so important to have God's word in you. Because when you got God's word in you, see, right now, I don't know what type of situation you're going to face. You don't know what type of situation I'm going to face. But that's why when we have the word of God in us, guess what's going to happen? That word of God that's been deposited in our recreated spirits, that's going to rise up, and we have to speak that. See, so when we speak what God's word says, then what is going to happen? We can have what God says we're going to have. So therefore, with the faithful ones, right, say what God says and speak what God speaks and receives. Amen? Because we have what? The same spirit of faith. Now, I want to tie this all up in here. Finally, this is something that we need to remember if you're taking notes. The faithful ones, we endure to the end. See, there's no quitting. We don't quit. Quitting's not in our stick. I mean, if you're thinking about quitting, then you're in the wrong camp. Now, really, you are. You're in the wrong camp. The faithful ones endure to the end. Turn with me to James chapter 1. We were at James chapter 1. Turn back there. See, also, it's like this. The reason why we don't quit, because we have a goal in mind. There should be a goal in mind for each and every one of us who's accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Now, in James chapter 1, look at verse 12. Are you there? He says this. It says, blessed is the man that does what? Endures what? Temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive what? The crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. So you see, When we're being put under pressure, when persecution comes, that's not time to throw in the towel. That's not time to quit saying, hey, man, I'm giving up on this faith business. I don't want any more of this. I got news for you. Since we came into the kingdom of God, since you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, since I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, there's no bridge back there. There's no going back. There's no bridge. Bridge is gone. Think about it. When I came to Christ, right? I'll just tell on myself. When I came to Christ, I didn't grow up in church, okay? I was 23 years old, right, Val? I was 23 years old when I accepted Jesus Christ. Okay, what did I step out of? I stepped out of the kingdom of darkness. I was bound by drugs, alcohol, and a bad attitude. I stepped out of that, and I stepped into the kingdom of light and his dear son. You think I'm going back to that? No. But in the kingdom of light of his dear son. And it's a process. It takes time for us to walk and live and move in this thing. Okay, so what I'm sharing with you is not a 15-minute, oh, I'm going to have faith in 15 minutes. No, it's a life that we live connected to God. Amen? Yeah. Now, let's look at another scripture. Amen? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. James says, "If as we endure temptation, we're going to receive what? The crown of life." Let's see what Brother Tim has to say. Amen? Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Not really Timothy, but Paul writing to Timothy. Let's see what Paul had to say about this. Because remember, this is Paul is saying, I fought a good fight. I finished my course and I kept the faith. Because he's now about to be martyred, okay? But now he's writing this letter to his young protege, Timothy, right? Look at verse 8. Look at what he says. Henceforth, there is laid up for me, what? A crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you love waiting for his appearing of the Lord Jesus? Are you looking for that day? Are you longing for the moment that, see, because he can come at any time right now. I mean, so are you longing for his appearing? Notice what Paul said here. There's a crown laid up for us. So I want to put this in your mind. Anytime you hear about a believer in Christ dying, it's not a time to go, oh, man, wow, that's a bummer. Oh, man, it's all over. No, he or she just graduated. How many of you attended a graduation ceremony where people were sad and crying like this? What are they doing in graduation ceremonies, right? I mean, one of our grandsons graduated a few months ago from college. I'm telling you, they really know how to celebrate now. They got the tassels and the hats. This one girl came out there, the thing was lighting up. Lights were going all around. So it's a celebration, right? So I'm trying to get you to understand something. Even we as believers, when one of us goes off of this site, it's not a time to be sad. It's a time to rejoice, okay? Because Paul said it here. He said, there's a crown to be won. There's a crown with your name on it in glory. Did you know that? All we have to do is just be what? Found as the faithful ones. Amen? Now, turn to Revelation chapter 21, and we'll close with this. Revelation chapter 21. Are you getting anything, understanding what God sees as being faithful ones, okay? We walk in the love of God. And I didn't say this, but listen to this. It's not enough just to walk in the love of God. We live in the love of God. So our lifestyle is one of living in the love of God. But as we turn to Revelation chapter 21, Revelation chapter 21, I know a lot of people don't like to read from here, but listen to what he says. Now, that's my next to last scripture. But look at Revelation chapter 21, verse 7. Are you there? Listen to what he says. He says, he that overcometh shall do what? Inherit all things. And I will be what? His God, and he shall be what? My son. So you see, we got something laid up for us. But now we're not looking for there, we're living here. Okay, you got that? Turn back to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. This is Jesus speaking, and I'll close with this. Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 8, the latter part of that, okay? We're looking at the latter part of verse 8 of Luke chapter 18. Because when it's all in the red, what does that mean? Jesus is speaking, right? So Jesus is talking, right? That don't mean the typewriter turned red. Listen to what he says. He says, Jesus is speaking. He says, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? That's a question he was asking. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now that word faith there, underline that word faith. That word faith doesn't mean what we're talking about faith. He's talking about faithful ones. So when the Son of Man comes back again, will he find faithful ones here? Yes. You know why? Because you and I are here, and you are the faithful ones. Say that. Say, I am the faithful ones. I walk in the love of God. I live in the love of God. I allow the love of God to flow through me to others. When persecution and temptation comes against me, I'm going to rejoice because I know that this temptation, that these persecutions are only an indication of the victory that I have in Christ. I have laid up before me a crown with my name on it, the crown of life. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you get what God is saying this morning to you? He loves you with an everlasting love. He counts you as being the faithful ones. And you know what? There's something about being found faithful in the kingdom of God. if we were to go up to heaven right now and we were to see a coronation ceremony of people being honored, and we would see all of these people in throughout all biblical history and even now being honored, you know, out of all of them, and if you do a study, do a character study from Abraham, Noah, and everybody else. Daniel, faithfulness. They were faithful. And God says you are the faithful ones. And if God says you are faithful, then know for a certainty that he who is faithful, who called you, will keep you. Amen? So every head bowed. Now, I know some of us were family, but we don't end the service in our church without giving an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Also, too, remember this. God loves us. Remember we talked about that love? God doesn't love us because he's got to do it. God loves us because he loves us. And his love is an extension of his mercy to us. So if you never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, this is your time to receive him. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ, I would be honored to stand with you and to lead you and to just share with you some scriptures and welcome you into the kingdom of God. So if you're here this morning and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, with every head bowed, please raise your hand. And I'd be honored to lead you. I would be honored to lead you. If you're here this afternoon and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, let me see your hands, please. Because we want to make sure everybody that's under the sound of my voice, you can put your hands down. Thank you. You can put your head up too. I just want to make sure everybody under the sound of my voice, and I want you to do the same thing. Everybody under the sound of your voice, we should give them that opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior.